Thanks very much, Frank. I bet you were expecting something different for a New Year passage, weren't you? Yeah, you were all expecting, behold, I make all things new, or something generic like that. Nope. So, I'll explain to you why I ended up at this reading, because I'm excited. I'm excited about this reading. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. Who has made a New Year's resolution? Who has already broken their New Year's resolution? How can you have broken if you haven't made it anyway? I found out this week that gyms are built 5 times smaller than they should be. Did you know that? 5 times. Gym owners expect only 20% of the people who sign up in January to carry on going. So they're 5 times smaller than they should be. If everyone who actually signed up for a gym went to the gym, they'd go out of business because they wouldn't have enough space to people. Anyway, this got me thinking about New Year's resolution. And I think it's a good thing to do sometimes, isn't it? To stop and reflect on the year we've had and think about what kind of person we want to be in a year's time, isn't it? I think that's a helpful rhythm. Someone called me last week and said, oh, can we have a chat? Because there's something I want to talk to you about before we reach the new year. Really good conversation. Fantastic. I was really blessed by it. But you see that attitude of like, I want to have this conversation before we reach the 2019. I want to deal with 2018 before we reach 2019. Does that make sense to some people? Have we felt like this a little bit over the last few weeks? The job, oh, I want to deal with this before we hit 2019. I want to make a New Year's resolution. In 2019, it's going to be different. Anyway, I was thinking about this. I was thinking this is a good rhythm to have in life. We need these kind of rhythms to stop and think about where we've come from and where we're going. I thought, wouldn't it be a good idea if every year we had some kind of marker to symbolise the fact we're entering into a new year? Well, it turns out there's one in the Bible. Unbelievable. I know. Who would have thought that the Word of God would have something to say to us today? That was a joke. Don't worry. I found this bit in Numbers. The bit we've just read. The bit that Frank just read to us. Fascinating thing. It's called Rosh Hashanah, which I should know because my sister's called Rosh, so this is interesting for me. And it's called the Feast of Trumpets. Isn't that a good name? A Feast of Trumpets. Because it turns out that God thought something similar to us in that it's important once a year to have a time to stop and reflect on the year that we've had in order to go into the new year afresh and new. Yeah, God's clever, isn't he? With these ideas. It wasn't just me. So, we're going to look at this feast this morning. So, we're going to look at the Feast of Trumpets. If we can have the next one, please, Cynthia. We're going to talk about... Oh, no, sorry, we'll come to that in a minute. The Feast of Trumpets, so we'll come to that. Anyway, so, I'm reading about the Feast of Trumpets. And what they would do was this was kind of the start of their new year, I suppose. The new season, start of their new season. So I thought we're going to look at it this morning, the Feast of Trumpets. And it starts with this fantastic phrase. On the first day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. Do no regular work. When my dad was a kid, his grandmother thought the Sabbath was really important. So, my dad used to go to his grandmother's house. Some of you had parents like this, grandparents like this, some of you. The Sabbath's very important, so you are not allowed to watch TV on the Sabbath. Anyone relate to this? Okay. You're not allowed to watch TV on the Sabbath. You are not allowed to play on the Sabbath. You cannot go outside. No, the Sabbath is a day for being inside and doing very little. Now, my dad was a bit of a smart aleck. Can't imagine where I got it from. And I think his line to his grandmother was, how did a rule that said do no work on a Saturday become do not have fun on a Sunday? Which is a very fair question. But some of us have grown up with the attitude, the Sabbath is a day for no fun. You are not to have any fun on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is for staying in and being sad. But that's not what God says. God says, when we have these feast days, do no regular work. Why does he say this? It's because he's talking to a bunch of people who have been in slavery for 400 years. 400 years. What do we know about slaves? They don't have very good working conditions. Slaves do not get a day off. These people have not had a day off for 400 years. I get grouchy if I don't have a day off in my week. Ask Charity. Imagine not having to work for 400 years. And suddenly they encounter a God who says, when you come before me, do no regular work. Because I am a God who gives you freedom. The Sabbath was never meant to limit our freedom. Sabbath is a celebration of freedom. You are free people. You can have a day off. So when God says, the Feast of Trumpets, do no regular work, it's because whatever you do this year, don't ever think that God will love you less if you don't do it. Whatever you do this year, don't think you are earning God's approval. Because when God says to the people, when it's a Feast of Trumpets, when we're starting afresh, do no regular work. Because you do not earn my love. You do not earn my presence. God says, this isn't about you earning my favour, you've already got it. And God says on the Feast of Trumpets, do no regular work. Whatever you do in 2019, God is not going to love you any less or any more than he does right now. But we all know that just because you're forgiven doesn't mean you're living a full life. Do we understand the difference between those two things? God says, I'm giving you this gift. I'm giving you the Sabbath. You're not earning my love. You're not earning my love. Boaz does not have to earn my love. He doesn't. I already love him. He does nothing. He occasionally claps. And I celebrate that. That is it. He does not earn my love. However, I still want him to make good choices. Don't I? I don't want him to touch the oven because he's going to burn his hand. I don't want him to become a drug dealer because I think that's a terrible life choice. I still love the boy, but I want him to make good choices. So this is what the Feast of Trumpets is about. God firstly says, I will love you whatever you do. Do no regular work. You are not earning this. This is not how many bricks you can make, which is what they did in Egypt. This is, I love you as you are. However, you need to sort some stuff out. You need to sort some stuff out. There are things in your life that will eat you up unless you deal with them. That's why someone called me last week and said, can I have a conversation before we reach the new year? Because we don't want stuff in our lives to fester. The Feast of Trumpets. If we can have the next one, please, Cynthia. This is what it was like. We found a trumpeter. And the trumpeter would blow the trumpet. And they would blow the trumpet every day for, I think, a month. And the trumpet symbol was to say, this is your warning. You have got 1 month to go. You have got 28 days to go. You have got 15 days to go. You've got 10 days to go to sort the stuff out in your life that you need sorting. You've got 5 days to sort the stuff out in your life. You've got 3 days. Does anyone here work better with a deadline? Yeah, so did the Jewish people. I definitely do. They're reminders. Trumpets being like, sort this out. Sort this out. Sort this out. There were three things that people were expected to look at themselves for during this time. This is the same stuff, by the way, as when we talk about John the Baptist in Matthew 3. He is the one who spoke through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, saying, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. That's the same stuff, isn't it? Because what does a trumpet mean? What does that mean? The king's coming. That's what that means, isn't it? The king's coming. The glory of God is coming. In Exodus, when the people meet God, it was like the sound of a trumpet as God descended on the mountain. Because a trumpet means God's coming. For a month. Boaz playing it in the morning. And in the evening. Remember, the king is coming. There's stuff in your life you need to sort out. 20 days. 10 days. 5 days. You know that there are people. I once spent Christmas Eve around B&M looking for Christmas presents for my grandfather. I really hope he doesn't listen to this sermon because I have a terrible grandfather. I know. But you feel, I've had all this time, months, the adverts have been dirt. There's something happening. You've got to get yourself sorted. Day after day, the trumpets. Sort yourself out. And then was the day of the Feast of Trumpets. But you know what? Yeah. Very distracting, Boaz. You're so cute. So in this time, people needed to focus, look at themselves for three things. We're going to run through these quickly now. Some of these you might need to think about in your own life. Three things that the Jewish people would look at during the Feast of Trumpets. The first one was avon. Is that right, Annie? Avon. Avon means focus. What are you focusing on? What are you focusing on?
Avon, one translation I read was,
the things that you focus on, the things that you are looking at that take you away from your goal. Things that you're looking at that take you away from your goal, like your phone or your coffee. Think about where you want to end up at the end of 2019. For me, I want to look more like Jesus. I want to look more like Jesus. What are the things you are looking at that are taking you away from the goal? We need to think about our focus. That might be for some people this morning. The second one, and I'm sure I pronounced this wrong, it's called Pasha. Shatta. One translation I read of this, which I think is brilliant. What separates me from God twists into my life and takes authority over me. Have you ever had an argument and you're sitting in the same room and it feels like there's a million miles between you and the other person? We had that feeling. Ever feel like that with God? That you're praying and you feel like God is far away. Some of us need to look in our lives and think, is there anything that is causing me separation with God? Is there anything that's causing me separation with my friends or my family? Is there anything that has caused separation in my life that has twisted into its life and now takes authority over me? The trumpets are sounding. The king is coming. Do we need to deal with it? Is this your year to deal with that thing in your life? For some of us, it's focus. For some of us, it's separation, chatter. Things that have separated us from God and now have authority over me. And finally, the last one is Pasha. What do you see when you see that picture? Who sees an old woman? Who sees a young woman? Do you see both? Our mindset affects how we see things, doesn't it? Jesus was the Son of God. He was the most incredible man to ever walk the earth. He was literally God on earth. And you know what some people said to him? He's just Joseph's son. He's just that carpenter's boy. Oh, don't worry about him. Do you know what some people said about Jesus? Nothing good can come from Galilee. Nothing good can come from there. Those people have got God in their midst, but their mindset doesn't allow them to see it. Thanks, Paul. Just emphasising that point. I think it was important. Sometimes we need to think, what mindset in our life? Do we always criticise? Do we always look at the negatives? Do we always think about the sceptical reasons why that can't be good or can't be true? What is our mindset? Have we got a mindset that when God is with us, we still say, oh, it's only Joseph's son? Oh, when God is with us, do we say, oh, nothing good can ever come from Galilee? Nothing good can ever come from houses. Nothing good can ever come from Moscow. Nothing good can. Do we have that mindset? God is with us. Do we have the mindset to see it? Because the trumpets are sounding. The king is coming. The reason I wanted to bring this message today is because there were some Jewish people who were like me. Despite all of the warnings, they still didn't hit the deadline. Now that day, the Feast of Trumpets, when the trumpet sounded, was also known as the day no one knows the day of the hour of. Interesting, when Jesus said. Do you know what they did after the Feast of Trumpets? You got 7 more days. Because people still hadn't dealt with the stuff that they should have dealt with for the past month. They had a full month and they still missed it. 7 more days of grace. Sometimes called 7 days of awe. Sometimes called 7 days of tribulation. These are 7 days to sort it out. Today is the 6th of January. It's the new year, but for me, I feel the new year starts tomorrow. Does anyone else feel like that? That like, tomorrow's the we start tomorrow. So I wanted to bring this message of the Feast of Trumpets today, because we've got 7 days of grace. 7 days to look into our lives. What's our focus? What are the things that have caused us to be separated from God or separated from people? What's our mindset? Is it preventing us seeing God who is with us? Are we dismissing the God who is in our midst as just, that's Joseph's son? Nothing good can come from January. Don't leave it any longer. The trumpet is sounding. The king is coming. This is nothing to do with whether God loves you. This is to do with how we live our life in 2019. Because after the 7 days was Yom Kippur, and that set the year.
that set the year. The track that you were in up to that point, that set the year. That set the mark for the year. The trumpet sounded. Let's take this up. Don't leave it to fester. Look into your life. Is there stuff you need to sort out today? Before us and before God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the rhythms of life that you've given us. And that are in the Bible. We thank you for this story, this feast, that tells us you give us chance after chance to turn around. We thank you that you love us unconditionally. But God, we want to look into our lives now and we want to deal with the stuff that's going to hinder us this year in 2019. We say sorry for the times that we've done stuff that's caused separation between us and you and separation between us and those around us. God, we are sorry for bad mindsets. We're sorry for the times we've lost focus on our goal. We want to be more like you, Jesus. Empower us by the Holy, by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Just before Charity comes to sing his final song, I thought we could read this together. Sylvia, if you could just do the next few. Next one. Yes, this one. So this is what some Jewish people would read kind of around this time. It's from Micah 7. I thought we could read it together now. Who is a God like you? Who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? Do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be faithful to Jacob and show love to Abraham, as you pledged on oath to our ancestors in days long ago. We have a God who forgives and gives us chance after chance, and is full of mercy. Let's stand and let's worship him.